Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this Monday morning. Happy Rosh Hashanah to everybody out there that understands what's going on today. You know the deep spiritual meaning of this particular day. It's in the economy of God, and we're going to talk just a little bit about it and get the real sense of what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And I'm going to be very honest with you right up front. It has nothing to do with the biblical Torah about a particular new year and what Rosh Hashanah really is beyond rabbinical teaching is the blowing of the trumpets today, not for a new year, but the ushering in of the final feast of the Lord. Oh, the prophetic impact is absolutely amazing. What is the purpose of Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the seventh month? Why the blowing of trumpets? What is it all about? Is it to declare a new year in the civil calendar of the Jews? No, it was never Yahweh's intent for that to be the case. In fact, let me read to you out of Leviticus chapter 23 what today is really all about and why it has spiritual meaning to you and I as believers of a new covenant today. It says in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month," that's where we are in the Hebrew calendar. We're in the seventh month. That's not a new year, okay? That's only the seventh month. And he said, "Say to them, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month," and we are in the seventh month, which is the Hebrew, what we call the Hebrew calendar, the Tishri, all right, which comes from a Babylonian Tishrei. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But this is the first day of the seventh month in that Hebrew calendar. And so tell the people in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, that they shall have a Sabbath, okay, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, okay, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Okay, why? What was the purpose? Well, there's a lot of information out there from the Jewish community, from the, you know, different teachers. And I've always asked myself the question, because God's word is very clear in the book of Exodus chapter 12, that God says the beginning of a year, the first month is Nisan, actually going all the way back to the spring feast. So what is Rosh Hashanah all about? Why the blowing of the trumpets? Why a memorial service? Why a holy convocation? Why should nobody be doing any servile work? And servile work means you're a servant, you're kind of doing something for whatever. But no servile work on this day. It is a day for a purpose. But what was the purpose? And I believe, and I happen to agree with this particular article. And let's begin. Rosh Hashanah is celebrated as the Jewish New Year among many Jewish communities worldwide. It starts 163 days after the first day of Passover. Rosh Hashanah lasts up to 2 days in many communities. Rosh Hashanah is a public holiday. It is a day off for the general population, and schools and most businesses are closed. Now we're going to get into the real meat of this. And I have to find out where it went. Bye-bye. all right, where did you go? I want that. This is the most important part of this. So we were talking about Rosh Hashanah, and this is, I always love this when this happens. The shooting stuff that well, let me tell you, without the article, here's what it really is saying. And I, for some reason, I just lost contact with the article. Rosh Hashanah really is a moment that the trumpets are blown for the purpose of basically sending forth a message to the Hebrew people that were scattered throughout the land that the time of the great feast was on the way. It wasn't a time of saying, hey, it's Happy New Year. It had nothing to do with saying it's Happy New Year in God's prophetic picture here. What it was a sound. It was a blasting of the trumpets and the messengers going forward to awaken the communities of Israel that were scattered throughout the land, to awaken them to the reality that Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, was on the way. And so what we have in the Rosh Hashanah feast is an awakening time that the great celebration, the third final major feast of the year, or the seventh feast of the year, because there are seven feasts, three major, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, and then the seven are all connected, where you have Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Shavuot, Yom Kippur, or Rosh Hashanah, blowing of trumpets, Yom Kippur on the 10th day of the 7th month, and then the 14th or 15th day of the 7th month, Tabernacle. So there's seven there, all connected. So what is happening today is the shofar is sounding throughout the earth. It began last night at the setting of the sun, and all day today, it is a day to commemorate and to realize something great is just ahead. Now, in the prophetic picture of the blowing of the trumpets throughout all of Scripture, it has such intense meaning. You know, I love when God told Isaiah, lift up your voice like a shofar, you know, declare unto Israel, you know, speak to the nation. So each one of us representatively have an opportunity to be a trumpet blast, to tell what this is. Now, what it says in Leviticus chapter 23, following this mention of the first day of the seventh month, which has meaning, okay, it's time to awaken. Then it says in verse 26, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this seventh month. So on the 10th day, we know what that is. There shall be a day of atonement. And that's what we call Yom Kippur. And this day of atonement, it shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. You shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among the people. So here's the kicker on that. Thousands of years ago, when the people of Israel were called to remember that Yom Kippur, it was all about sacrifice, the shedding of blood of the animals. I mean, in the Feast of Trumpets, there were offerings that were made. And in Yom Kippur, there was an offering made. It was the Day of Atonement, the shedding of the blood for the forgiveness of the sins of the people. You and I are not back there looking forward to a finished work. You and I are 2,000 years beyond the finished work. And the finished work was with Yeshua, our Lord Jesus Christ, who took his blood beyond the veil of this earthen realm into heaven itself and applied his blood on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. Now, that is a legal term, by the way. And so if you want to get right with God on the legal term of things, you need to understand that the blood of Yeshua was the atoning blood once and for all. That's why we don't have to go back and repeat the animal sacrifices. But there's no problem with a new covenant believer looking back to the finished work of the atonement that was made in the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Yeshua. Why? Because that helps us in our conscience. Remember, the blood of bulls and goats could not make anybody's conscience clean or perfect or pure or undefiled or incorrupt, but the blood of Jesus, according to the book of Hebrews, can. In fact, in about 2 hours, my friend Bob Hagen is going to be sharing out of the book of Hebrews right here on the Omega Radio Network that's broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. After this live broadcast, Bob will be sharing on the blood of Christ. What a significant time for his message to deal with the blood, the efficacy, the power of the blood of Jesus on the day of Rosh Hashanah. Wow, that is pointing to the Day of Atonement. I'm very excited about that. So here we have this Day of Atonement, and what you and I do 2,000 years beyond the atonement that was made in Jesus, never again having to repeat itself, never again. It has been fulfilled, but it still has meaning, because what about the person that gets born again today? What about the person that receives Jesus Christ and receives salvation today? Well, they need to be made aware of the atoning sacrifice, and the atoning sacrifice of the blood of Jesus goes all the way back into Leviticus and Exodus and in the beginning of the Torah, right? And so we could apply and show them the magnificence of the quote-unquote Old Testament and how it's fulfilled in Christ, and how a new covenant people have been atoned for. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We've been atoned for, but why not celebrate that atonement? Why not celebrate it? And again, today is the day to sound the alarm, to blow the trumpet in Zion, to awaken the sense within God's people that regardless of what's going on around the world, what's happening in the world today, and we dare say there's a lot going on in the world, and yet the trumpet blast is to awaken their sense that, whoa, something about God is going on right now as well. There's a God movement going on in the earth right now. And all over the world, God's people need to become aware that we are hearing the trumpet sound. And in 10 days, there's going to be an atonement, a time to really remember what Christ has done. And then 4 days later, oh my gosh, watch this. 4 days later. So let me finish what it says as far as atonement. It says in verse 30, and whatsoever soul it be that does any work in the same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Wow, that was very, very powerful. God wanted their attention, right? So you shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. You shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, and from even unto even you shall celebrate your Sabbath, even though it's an intense, high, holy day. Because that's, you know, think about the everything in the center of the universe, of all of our believing in faith and activity as people of God, it's all centered in Jesus Christ in the atonement. Without the atonement, there is nothing, nothing works, nothing moves forward. It is such a high, holy time for all people everywhere on the planet to really remember and to celebrate and to treat it with such respect and honor. Why? Because it's on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, 10 days from now, that is when the people would go to court and the judge of the universe would rend a decision. Who has been vindicated? Who has been justified? Who has been forgiven and declared not guilty? Who shall live another year? Who shall prosper another year? Who will be blessed? And then who will not? And that's why the rabbis came alongside and they said, okay, well, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, we're going to call those the 10 days of awe. Now, that is a rabbinical thought. That is something that they've brought into, okay? It's not written plainly in Scripture, but they knew that Yom Kippur was such a high holy day that this was a legal moment, that blood that was shed was so legal for the transfer of the redeemed, to be bought and purchased with the blood, that sins were forgiven, that Satan had no longer legal right to God's people. They knew this. So the 10 days of awe were basically, you're going to court for 10 days. The accuser is going to stand before the judge and accuse us of every wicked thing in our hearts and in our lives. So the rabbi said, well, for the Jewish people and the believers, those 10 days, examine yourselves. Go into deep introspection and see if there be any wicked way. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said, let us therefore examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. There's nothing wrong with introspection. There's nothing wrong with examination. There's nothing wrong with it. And during these particular days, it may be a very good time to just go to court every day. And if the accuser accuses you of anything, don't try to justify yourself. Confess whatever is in your heart. Confess whatever sin may be lurking, or something of your unforgiveness or bitterness or resentment or attitudes that aren't right before God. Anything that does not measure up to the standard of God's righteousness, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then confess that. But then let the advocacy of Christ stand up, and let the atoning blood that he shed be there for the forgiveness of your sins and my sins. So there's nothing in the realm of obligation, legalism, nothing like that, that we are talking about today. We're just looking back and remembering. And then also, what happens? Well, after these days of the atonement, after the days of this Yom Kippur, then it says in Leviticus 23, verse 33, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. And then 37 says, these are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, beside all your free will offerings which you give unto the Lord. Also, he goes on to say about tabernacles, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath, and you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees and branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now watch, what's the kicker in all of this? The whole purpose of today is to blow a trumpet throughout the earth, to awaken the people like a satellite message going out to the communities of God all over the earth. Hey, Tabernacles is ahead of us. So get yourself cleaned up. Get yourself ready. Use today to awaken and now start rethinking your life. I don't want you to do any servile work. I want you to remember your life on this earth is not to build the pyramids of Pharaoh, to build with the brick and straw of the world, that you're not a slave to this world. I'm telling you, today is a time to separate yourself and start thinking, we're going to go out and meet the Lord for 7 days. And today, knowing that we're going to meet the Lord for tabernacles, which represents the wedding feast, and this is a rehearsal, the bride has made herself ready. So use these days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to cleanse yourself, confess your sins, search your heart, examine your ways. What could be wrong with that? There's nothing legalistic or Old Testament about that. We all need to be doing that all the time, but what a great time to really press into the moment and get ready for a feast. I mean, where God's people will gather together and celebrate and rejoice and be glad in the midst of what's going on in the world in this very strategic moment. And here is another kicker, that everything we just read about celebration and appointed feasts and days of, you know, celebration, it's all in the fourth day of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 13, 14, 15, it talks about God on the fourth day before we ever existed, that God set the sun, moon, and stars for signs and seasons, the moeds, the appointed feast days, celebration days. He had on the fourth day in his mind the feast of the Lord. And just because we're in a new covenant doesn't mean we do away with it. That would be like doing away with the Sabbath, doing away with the tithe, doing away with offerings. All of those things existed before the Mosaic law came. They all existed before the Mosaic law. And there are people that are robbing the church of the beautiful intrinsic value and meaning of these feasts by telling people that's Old Testament, you don't have to do that. That is such foolishness. Really it is, but it may be an unlearned foolishness, maybe an ignorance that they just don't want to cooperate with God. I have a friend that we talked about this, and we said, well, you know, we're all about the spirit and grace in the new covenant, and I totally agree. And yet when we are saved by faith, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But what happens? We're grafted in. We're born again. We're accepted into the Father's house, right? So now that we're coming out of the world and learning the ways of the world, we're born again into Father's house. And we are now to learn his ways. And he's teaching us his ways that go back into the days of creation itself. And then all the things that existed before the Mosaic law just came to preserve certain things. But then when Christ came and a new covenant began, those preserved things came out with Christ. And they teach us the intrinsic value and the spiritual meaning of the feast of the Lord. It's not about the external. But let me ask you this. Can you imagine 100 people gathering together in a specified place to worship God, to celebrate Yahweh, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to gather together to sing and to dance and to worship and to praise, and then to get into the Word and hear anointed messages, feeding the flock of God, downloading strategic things for the journey that lies ahead. The prophetic meaning of a bride that's washed in the word of God, in the blood of the Lamb, and people rejoicing for 7 days, communing with one another, celebrating one another, loving one another, and it's all unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine just 100 people? Well, now imagine 1,000 people sending up a sound into the heavens of worship and praise and rejoicing. We can do that after the days of awe. We could do that after introspection, confession, cleansing, repentance, now a people prepared to worship God in spirit and in truth, right? So now 1,000 people around the world. Well, then 10,000 people, and then 100,000 people, then 1 million people, then 10 million people, and 100 million, and 1 billion, and then 2 billion, and 3 billion. What is going to happen to planet Earth when God's people rejoice during the time of Feast of Tabernacles, offering to God everything that he has called us to? And remember, what is the feast all about? It is true. It's an absolute truth that these are God's feasts. They are not the Jews' feast. They are not the church's feast. These are the Lord's feast. He thought of them on the fourth day of creation. He put it into existence. And what are these feasts? They're his celebrations. So we are invited to the feast of the Lord. We're invited to all of them. Most of them have already been fulfilled, but the ultimate Feast of Tabernacles is the only feast that has not yet been fulfilled in its entirety. Oh, praise God. God has a plan in the future for the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, when we go to the Father's feast, we've been invited. He says, bring an offering, bring a gift. Have you ever gone to a birthday party, been invited to a birthday party, or to a wedding anniversary, or to some celebration? You always bring a card. You always bring a gift. So God says, in his economy that during the major feast of the Lord, his people were to bring offerings and gifts. Those offerings and gifts were received by the Lord. He imparted them as he will. But then they received a blessing from him. Oh my gosh, whatever we bring. So the Feast of Tabernacles is bringing yourself, number one, an offering, bringing a gift, an offering to the Lord, a present to him, and then gathering together and celebrating. What happens when 3-4 billion people on this planet, or a billion people, worship and praise God at this time? It is a mini fulfillment. It's a microcosm of what he said, that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The whole earth will sing with praise and worship to God. Right now, we're hearing the voice of dragons and beasts. Right now, we're hearing the voices of satanic priests, and we're hearing the voices of the far left, and we're hearing the voice of blasphemy, and we're hearing the voice of the adversary all over the world. But when God's people shout to the Lord, when we rise up and worship our God, man, that's what it's all about. Because one day this earth is going to be cleansed and it's going to be washed. And here's what's very interesting about the times we're living in. We are living in a time of a prophetic moment. In my mind, there's no doubt. And you and I have been studying the book of Amos, and we've been looking at that Amos chapter 8 prophecy that God said to Amos in his day, that when the summer fruit was complete, when summer was over, there'd be a basket of summer fruit, but it was so rotten that God was going to pass them by no more, and he was going to release a judgment that was going to bring devastation during, you get down to verses 9, 10, and 11, you get, it's during the feast times. We do not want to show up to God's feast religiously, obligatory, or in any other way other than to worship and to have a desire to learn and to be fed. What does this feast mean? I'm not going to put on all the garments and become, an Old Testament Jew, if you will. That's not what it's about. It is something that before there was ever a thing called a Jew that God had in mind. Yes, we honor the Israel and the Jewish nation, the true seed of Abraham from the loins of it. We honor that because God gave them these things. But they celebrated it externally. We celebrate it intrinsically, both the Jew and the Gentile, the one new man in the earth. We need to understand some things about this feast. Now, we are simply hosting it here in Northwest Arkansas. This is being celebrated all over the world, just like Rosh Hashanah today is being celebrated all over the world. The trumpets have been blasting. We had our dear sister last night took the shofar and she blew the trumpet, man, at our church. That was awesome. It's going to be celebrated all over the world. You're invited to Father's Feast. You say, well, I don't understand it yet. Well, you'll know all about it when you come for 7 days and you hear the messages that are going to be taught. Barbecuing, food, meals, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. I mean, what is this feast going to be like? If God is saying in Amos's day that there's going to be howlings during that time, during the feast seasons, there are going to be bad things happening. Is it possible that God in his intrinsic wisdom and strategy is literally calling his people to separate themselves to worship and praise him at a time when calamities could be happening on the earth? I don't know. I know it's a biblical pattern. I know that God showed us Amos going all the way back in the springtime, and it seems to have been something that God is making known to us. I was watching Patricia arise to the moment here. God bless you, Patricia. And she's going to join us in just a moment. It's already 9:28. So what did we talk about these first moments? Happy Rosh Hashanah. Honest to God, happy Rosh Hashanah. The days ahead, how you spend your days examining, studying the word, letting the light of scripture shine in your heart, showing you anything that is not proper before the Lord in the realm of the fruitfulness of our born again lives. Get ready. And then let that blood work. Oh my goodness. Let that blood work to bring cleansing for anything that has been realized or revealed. And then get ready for that great feast. That's what this month is all about. It's all about a preparation for the feast of the Lord. Good morning, dear lady. How are you doing? Why are you so far over there? I'm going to have to turn this all the way to you. I'm going to say good morning to Patricia Joy. Good morning, Patricia Joy.
Good morning.
You're too far over there.
However,
can you come over this way just a little?
I like it. It's comfortable. I'm going to try to move here. That's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, what you were talking about is so essential right now. It's just as warming to the heart as anything I know or have experienced thus far. God is bringing us to a great and mighty place that none of us have been before because of the great and mighty evil that has been thrusted against the Christian body. And it is a move like we have never seen, and it's going to be intensified as moments go on. But you brought the feast up as a representation of the great awakening. And you know what? That is exactly what these feasts are all about. It parallels what happened in the old is happening now in the new, meaning Old Testament, New Testament, but in a greater, most magnificent way that has ever happened before, because it takes one of the natural and the supernatural and it places it together into a crescendo of God's awakening on the earth today. So calling it the Great Awakening is absolutely right on. And I want to present to you a word of prophecy that Pastor Vincent brought forth way back, I think around the 90s or so. It's called the Great Awakening. And you mentioned, Pastor, that the trumpet sounds. It's the sound of the trumpet for today. So here it goes. It says, the last trump is being blown in the earth today, all around the world, and the gospel is being preached. Our television, radio, and in governmental offices, the voice of the prophets are being sent forth. That voice is proclaiming the day of the Lord. There are those who would put the brakes on this day, but I say that there is no stopping or turning back. I love it. We're going forward. And in that, I want to also present the fact that in going forward, we will go into the millennium with the feasts being totally and completely part of everything God will be doing. It will be celebrated then as now. So we are not turning back. We are not stopping. We're going forward. And here's the beauty of it. Here's the beauty of it. All prophecy is being fulfilled. Everything written in the book of the Bible is being fulfilled and being fulfilled now. Isn't that exciting? And those who are wise in their own eyes are being kept out. They're not going to understand this. They're not going to know about it. They're going to have absolutely a blackout. And the traditions, childlike faith is what's going to bring us back to the knowledge of the truth. Those who are wise in their own eyes are being kept out, and the traditions of man are blinding him from the present realities that are taking place in the world today. Just as blind were the Pharisees of old, who could not allow the fulfilling of prophecy to come to pass in their own eyes. And today, the modern theologians and the religious leaders are skeptical of the dawning of this prophetic day. They don't really understand it or know it. And because of that, they're going to miss out. And that is part of the Christian body. I have positioned I have positioned religious leaders are skeptical of the dawning of this prophetic day. I have positioned my people, God says, those who know my heart and will to issue forth the words of my heart. I have opened up the scriptures to them, and that is what we're proclaiming right now, the opening of the scriptures to them like a scroll, and have given them the ability to speak it forth. I have anointed their lips, and surely their words shall be heard in all the earth. Though the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, there will be those who can no longer resist the truth and will turn from their own philosophy of scripture and be joined to the one true Spirit of the Lord. Exciting. I say to those voices who are proclaiming this day that you must continue to blow the trumpet. You must continue to speak forth what I have placed in your heart. You must continue in the passion of truth I have imparted unto you. Do not be afraid to speak, for there are many in your cities that are seeking out truth in this day, and they will hear my heart in you, and they will recognize my voice through you. Many are turning to my word and are seeking out the things that have been written. They shall find those words that were written in advance of things and their fulfilling, and yet their witness will be found as they see my beloved church walking in the light of what they see and hear. Yes, my glory shall be seen upon you, and the nation shall come unto your light. That which you will read will be seen fulfilled in you. You are my witnesses, and you bear my testimony. And there's much more to it. But bearing the testimony is what's going to happen at the Feast of Tabernacles. We are going to bear the testimony of Jesus Christ within us and the power of the Holy Spirit moving into a new day. This day is incredible like no other day. And this celebration is for that day. We are entering into the glory. Come on, body of Christ. Know where you are going. It's not just religion as normal. This is different. It's greater, because when Satan comes to be the absolute deceiver of the world, God comes within his body, within his church, to be the witness of glory. Hallelujah. And truth. We're going to know the truth, and very few will.
Well, amen to that, Patricia.
I just want to continue to say one more moment that Pastor Vincent had written this how many years ago?
Many
years ago, in the 90s, early 90s. And here we are today. It's being fulfilled beautifully and glorifully.
Amen. Glorify. Glorify. That's a new word.
A new word.
Yeah. So let's put it in perspective. What if I'm understanding, and our listeners are understanding right now, if I'm understanding properly what God is saying, and our timing is right, it gets down to timing, it gets down to understanding, and if we're accurate, it really does go back to the remnant. And it's almost as though we have been in a season, whether we knew it or not, that we have all been weighed in the balance. There are those in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation that were sealed with the Father's signature in their forehead. And we know that in the book of Ezekiel, before the judgment went forth, there were those that were marked with a mark of a man that was carrying an inkhorn, who sighed and cried for the abominations. And when they were sealed, the judgment would not touch them. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, the 144,000 that are sealed are preserved from the wrath that is to come. So if I'm understanding properly right now, I mean, this is such a powerful thought when you think about it, being part of the remnant of Yahweh, the remnant of God. That's very special. That is a very special thing. And yet there is a remnant. There is a remnant. And while if we are right, what we're possibly looking at right now, potentially, is that I've been listening to a lot of people lately, or very, very lightly listening to their comments about a massive financial blow in the month of October, the October doom, the October, October has always had that sense about it. And I know a little bit about that. 10 years ago, we spoke into this month as well. And we're 10 years down the road right now. And yet, if our timing is right, and we're understanding Amos chapter 8, and what Patricia is saying, the remnant of God that is gathering together, obeying, being led by the Holy Spirit into the right place at the right time, with the right people doing the right thing right now, are going to experience a download. And you think about a garment of praise, you think about something you're putting on, a literal download of intrinsic wealth of the kingdom of God within your life to keep you prepared and ready and moving forward and preserved in a time where all around us, these calamities are at the door. Are we standing right now on the edge of Bible prophecy and the prophets of God who faithfully prophesied what they saw, maybe not in full, but maybe just in part? Are we moving into a season, especially as we approach this 2020 election, that the calamities spoken of are going to happen all around us. The Psalm 91 that everybody was about, 1,000 at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. Is this the moment? Is this the moment that God has called his church to come up and by honoring the Lord and being a part of what he is doing, you know, and I'm not suggesting anything. I know our salvation is by faith in the grace of God in Jesus Christ alone. I know that. But are we there? Have we arrived at a moment of destiny, of transformation, of change, of God saying to America and part of the countries in the world that we've all heard about how grossly we've sinned against the Lord? And you know and I know we have grossly sinned, and we cannot coddle that. We cannot lighten that. We cannot, you know, belittle that. That we have grossly sinned against the Lord. And dark things have been manifested and have come out into the open. The corruption, the defilement, the depravity that we're all seeing, the tug of war, the battle, the division, the gross sins of shedding innocent blood, and you know the rest. Are we now going to be met with what God has declared years gone by? Is it now time? Well, if Amos chapter 8 is right, if the timing of that is right, there seems to have been a witness, a confirmation that we are there. What does that mean? Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, the remnant. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen within you. Is this that moment in time? Have we arrived that God is separating his people unto himself? But the lukewarm, the compromised, those that are taking things lightly, maybe not just dealing with issues that God wants to be dealt with in the heart, will the pressure that is coming serve as a cleanser, known as this great tribulation? Are we at the door of this thing? Patricia, I kind of sense that we are. Your thoughts?
Well, what you're speaking of is absolutely what you wrote in your prophecy. And you didn't know that because I found this when I went upstairs. And it says, yes, my glory shall be seen upon you, and the nations shall come unto your light. Isn't this perfect, the way God moves? That which they will read will be seen fulfilled in you. In other words, when they read things that have been perfected within the church in Scripture, they will see it fulfilled in you. You are my witnesses, and you bear my testimony. Therefore, you shall receive the greater portion, and you shall walk in the demonstration and might of my Spirit. You shall be looked upon by the eyes of the world as very peculiar, yet they will acknowledge that you are mine. In other words, the remnant people that you just mentioned. They will see, and they will turn, and they will come unto me through your witness. And that is for you who have desired righteousness and continued in righteousness to be the remnant of God's people. Your light shall expose their darkness, and the work of salvation will be realized in many during the great day of harvest. Blow the trumpet. There we go again. Sound forth the glorious notes of revival and resurrection power. And many are praying for that revival right now. Many Christians across the world. Until the notes become so profound and so clear, you must continue. The airwaves will be alive with the vibrations of coming kingdom. And that's what we're doing right now. We are just blowing the trumpet in Zion. And the airwaves are becoming alive with the truth, the mighty work of God and his kingdom. And your light shall expose their darkness, and the work of salvation will be realized in many during the great day of harvest. Blow the trumpet. Sound forth the glorious notes of revival and resurrection power. Until the notes become so profound and so clear, you must continue. And the airways will be alive with the vibrations of the coming kingdom. I repeated it because it's great. You are commissioned this day to work. You must work now like never before. as I have provided you a foundation to build upon. Your work shall endure the fire that shall test all things. And while I shake the nations, your work will stand. As your work stands, the nations shall come and bring their glory into it. I have given you an unshakable kingdom. Receive now the unshakable kingdom within you and stand firm upon the promises I have made. You shall not be moved. I am bringing forth a brand new reality into the earth as I am prepared to come and cause the first heaven and the first earth to pass away. Look up and look to the hasten of the day that is upon you. Go to the Feast of Tabernacles and celebrate. I love you with greater love than one could ever know.
Wow. So what you're saying is that this morning, while I was down here, you found this prophecy, the trumpet sounds, that was written. I wrote it many years ago.
In the early 90s, yes.
And it's all about what's happening right now. That is absolutely amazing. I can't tell you. It's hard to express what I'm feeling right now, but I feel a weight of the kabod. I feel a weight of God's glory in my spirit right now. I am so absolutely excited about this moment in time. And it's hard to fathom because I know all around me, I know the potential calamities everywhere. Well, you know, it's not far off. We have seen so many things happen in our world around us. And yet there's a preservation and there's a call. There's an invitation for God's people to gather together and understand this moment and to praise and worship God, regardless of what's going on anywhere. There's just a weight to it right now. There's a joy to it right now. There's a celebration. Even though today is a day of blowing of trumpets, awakening the people, the feast is on the way, and all the intrinsic value and meaning to that again. Boy, I just can't get away from that. And it's rich. It's just simply rich. And to all of God's kids out there, whether you're 100 or whether you're 2, all of God's children, the work that God is doing is in you. You are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. You are his tabernacle. The Feast of Tabernacles, plural, is really a gathering together of the individuals into one tabernacle. We know that we are the habitation of Yahweh. We know we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just one individual. The head of this tabernacle is Christ. The cornerstone is Christ. He is the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. And soon, the nation that is within a nation, the kingdom of God, will shout to the capstone, grace, grace, soon. I mean, this time, feasting of tabernacles, wow. You know, we are living in a tabernacle. Your life, your outer body, your flesh, this person out here, that is a tabernacle. But the real you, the real me is inside of this shell, this earth suit. And we come together for a spiritual union, to union with Christ. And I know I'm running out of time. It's a union time with Christ. And you are a member of the body of Christ. And gathering together and uniting in the Spirit of God. Man, that's rich. That's powerful. It has everything to do with God's eternal purpose that's in Christ Jesus. We're going to learn a lot in these days ahead. As we come down to these final moments, I want you to know that here in Northwest Arkansas, as we're preparing the feast, we're preparing, making things ready, we're a host of what God is doing. We received an $800 donation for the tent. We always have a tent, and we received the money, $800, to get the tent. Our tent will be up and running. Our friends from New Hampshire, about a month and a half ago, gave $500 to the work that needs to go on in the ark. And what we are is workers, and there are people up on the ark that are working, that need to be supplied the resources to get everything prepared. So that when people come, they're going to say what one apostle said last year, man, I came up to your property and I see excellence. That was a great testimony. So there are workers that need to be supplied, like in the days of Josiah, when they gave all the workers what was necessary to get the job done. And we have another need, a financial need. Our friend Daniel Seckham, he needs to come, and his flight is $1,000. I have it. He told me what it was, $999.11 or something like that. It's a $1,000 flight to get our guest speaker here, and there are going to be many speakers. And I'm just reaching out to anybody that may be interested in supplying the need to this feast. If you're interested, maybe helping out with that particular cost, that would be awesome. So we are preparing. We are excited about where we are going. And it's okay. It's all on their phone. You may need to turn your phone up. And I do want to say hello to some friends out there real quick, if I may. I see our friend Clarence is calling from London, and Kevin is out there. We are working so hard to get this working on YouTube and Facebook. We're trying to get things ready for the Feast of Tabernacles that we could stream live. And none of us are really good at knowing how to do this. And so if anybody has some help that they could offer, maybe you could take a flip out here, a little trip out here to Northwest Arkansas and help us. If you have the ability, the technical ability, we've got the cameras, we've got the software, we've got the everything you need, a sound system at the church. We've got it all. We just don't know how to use it. And maybe you have some technical ability. We'll get you out here one way or the other. If you want to come and help us put this together, because we would like to stream it live. We would like to have it go around the world, because there are people listening to this radio broadcast right now around the world, and even on Facebook and on YouTube. And so we're doing the best we can. We do need some technical help. If you're the one that knows how to do this stuff, give me a call. Let us know how to do this. Patricia, we're down to about 9 minutes in the broadcast. What else do you want to share today?
Just one other thing that had to do with what you prophesied. And it's just beautiful, because it sort of puts the touch of the cherry upon the cake. Look up and look to the hasten, and hasten the day that is upon you. I love you with greater love than one could ever know. My love for you is incomprehensible. Your rewards are great, and you shall see my face, and you shall dwell throughout eternity in my presence. I have prepared a place for you, my beloved, and I will tell you that there is not one thing in this present life that is worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come to you. That glory is at hand. The scriptures tell us that Christ in us is the hope of glory. That's the true Christ, the one that walked the face of the earth 2,000 years ago. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Lord Almighty, who gave his life for you and I, that we may be made pure and holy before a great and mighty Creator, and that we can face him face to face, sinless, without spot and wrinkle. And the bride is preparing herself now. Come to the Feast of Tabernacles, where the preparation is being made to be ready for this great and mighty time of his coming. It's at hand, folks. It truly is. We have entered in my opinion, to the beginning of the great tribulation. It is time to gather together, know who we are, strengthen one another in love, and with a compromising love, uncompromising love that could never, ever, ever end. We love you very much. Help us if it's possible.
Amen. And by the way, just a little heads up, Patricia is going to be hosting her own video radio broadcast live once a week on Thursdays. And that's going to begin this Thursday, where she's going to come to the pulpit at 10 o'clock, I believe it is.
I'm praying about whether that'll be this Thursday.
Oh, you're praying whether it'll be this Thursday or not. Well, hopefully it will be. And what time are you going to actually come live on the air? 10 o'clock, like immediately following our broadcast?
Yes.
Okay, so she will be broadcasting for 30 minutes or 1 hour on Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. But rather than the roundtable discussion that we hear throughout the day on omegaradio.org, she's going to come live on the air on Blog Talk Radio. And are you going to be opening the telephone lines for people to call in if they have questions or want prayer or something?
Yes, but I don't know how to operate.
I'll show you how to do that. So for the first time, Patricia will be actually studying out of her book and opening telephone lines for anybody that needs prayer. or wants to talk about particular issues, I think it's going to be a lively conversation. So that's going to begin, Lord willing, this Thursday, if not the following Thursday, or after Tabernacles, I'm not sure, but hopefully this Thursday, we'll do a test run, we'll see. And that's it. I can't tell you again how excited I am personally about the times we're in. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about Holy Spirit. I'm excited about Papa, Father God. And I hope you are too. And I trust that by the time we learn how to do all this stuff, that we'll get it flowing. It'll be so nice. We are broadcasting right now on the Omega Radio Network at omegaradio.org. We are broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/xman777. You could call in at 818-369-0326. And we are also on the YouTube channel under New Wine Radio. If you go to New Wine Radio, we are broadcasting live in video, New Wine Radio on YouTube. And then also on Facebook under the Omega Radio page, we should be broadcasting live there too. We're having some little glitches and technical issues here and there, but I'm sure that someone's going to step up. God's going to provide a suppliant who's going to show us how to get all this done with expertise, and it's going to go forth perfect. Right now, we're utilizing every platform for one reason: to awaken God's people to the times that we are in, preparing, equipping the body of Christ. And we do believe that there's a crisis, but we also know the kairos of God is there's opportunity in the midst of a crisis. And that opportunity is to come closer to the Father's heart. And that's what we're wanting to do in administrating this word. So here we are, Patricia Joy. We've got, 4 minutes left.
Are there any calling?
Oh, well, let's take a call. Is anybody out there? If you have a desire to call into the broadcast today, the number again is 818-369-0326. And you may be listening right now on Blog Talk Radio, and all you have to do is press 1 on your dial pad. Do you have any questions, any comments, anything you'd like to share on today's radio broadcast? The number to call is 818-369-0326, and just press 1 on your dial pad. And we see a lot of people that are listening on their telephones right now.
Don't be afraid to call in.
Yeah, it's a great testing time. We'd love to hear the voice of many waters, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So in the interim, we are down to 3 minutes. Patricia, anything else on your heart?
Well, bringing forth the idea of starting a ministry on the YouTube, is it YouTube, Facebook?
Yeah, you're going to be on basically Blog Talk Radio,
okay.
Omega Radio.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The reason that I wanted to do this, and I was asked to do it, actually. I wasn't considering it on my own, but I thought about it, prayed about it, and I know that there is a time in which God has called for these things to happen. All right, here's the idea. The Lord told me, my bride will come to me without spot or wrinkle. It's in scripture. I read it and I knew that conviction was for me to go forth and to minister deliverance. Why? Because the bride is the one who makes herself ready, and she makes herself ready to come before the King without spot or wrinkle. So Christ came to this earth for one reason: to set the captives free. And many Christians are still not walking in the freedom in which he offers. They do not understand the resurrection power operating in their lives to overcome all sickness, all disease, all sin that has been developed by their own doing or generational bloodline curses, that Satan is alive and well to keep the Christian from becoming the bride of Christ. We will not tolerate it because God already sent his son to take care of that situation. He came to cast out demons, heal the sick, open blind eyes, and to save souls, that they may not have to walk in sin for the rest of their existence of life on this earth. He gave opportunity, and yet multitudes of Christians are still in sin. You know what one sin would be? That which is not faith is sin. You know what another sin would be? Being afraid all the time. Covering it with a false religiosity. No, he came to set you free, and that's what we'll talk about.
Amen and amen. Patricia, well said. I'm looking forward to that. And I know it's going to be rich because I know you and God has supplied you with an anointing to do the work that he's called us to do. And you've been operating. You wrote a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. You need to get a copy of the book. It's a great book. There's an anointing to set the captives free. And I was reminded as you were talking, it's not only that the bride has made herself ready, but he who purges himself, and let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. There is some responsibility, you know, applying the finished work of Christ in our lives to get the job done. All right, so we're going to go right now and say goodbye. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I've been joined with my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. Together, we are your watchmen on the wall. The phones are going crazy. We'll see you soon. God bless.
Little guy wants to go for a walk.